use of language, the advisory board and its, they had its before, advisory board and its members shall adhere to all state laws, laws, regulations, and Connecticut Office of Ethics opinions. Idea's the same. And I think that's pretty much it. Unless I've forgotten something.
I've been following along, Eileen, and I don't think you forgot anything.
Thank you.
That was an excellent presentation, Eileen. Very thoroughgoing. And now I will ask if any members have questions or other comments with regard to... Well, before I can do that, I'm sorry. We have to do one thing first. We have to have a motion on the floor to adopt the bylaws as presented by the work group. Once that is done, we can have a discussion.
Is that a motion to adopt? I will make a motion.
Who is that, Mary?
Yes.
Okay, Mary makes a motion. Mary Silverberg moves to adopt the bylaws as presented by the work group. Do we have a second?
Beth
seconds. We are now ready for discussion. Any questions? I do have a question, and this is for Andrew. I don't remember exactly the discussion we had in the work group, but it had to do with amending the bylaws and whether anything more than a simple majority is typical for organizations, public organizations, because that's what we're familiar with here. Having their bylaws amended by more than a simple majority vote?
I think it was common that it was more than a simple majority. You've lowered it in this proposal from 3/4 to 2/3, and I will point out the board now stands at 10 members, so 3/4 would be 8. Thankfully, you've got 8 people here, so with a unanimous vote, you'll achieve 3/4. When this changes, if it's adopted to 2/3, you would then need 7 rather than 8. It's a pretty large number still. I forget. I know I looked at some other bylaws. Let me just see here from, well, it may take me a second because I need to refresh my memory. I remember I may have looked at the SRC bylaws. Let's see. Well, here's the deaf and hard of hearing bylaws. And let me see here, bylaws, what do they say? Sorry, I just can't do it as quickly as would be delightful. Bylaws. Now, the deaf and hard of hearing board says a majority. That's theirs. And so let me now see if I can find the SRC, which I've been sent copies of 100 times, I just have to figure out which one I want to look at, bylaws, or bike laws, because I can't type. let's see here. This is the SRC. The SRC says 3/4.
Oh, all right.
So the precedent of 3/4 exists for us and the SRC, the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Advisory Board, which, by the way, I think copied them from the Autism Council, is a majority. So I think you could do 3/4 seems kind of onerous in your group. So let's go to 2/3. If you thought it should be a majority, you know, you could amend these proposed amendments to say a majority. Sometimes people look at bylaws as being sort of a constitution and that more than a mere majority should be required to change your constitution. And, you know, it's not the Constitution of the United States, though. It isn't that precious. But I guess I can't tell you there's a hard and fast rule. It seems to range from 51% 66% and 75%. Right now you're 75, you're proposing to go to 66. If you think it ought to be 51, I don't know.
I'd be prepared to put that out as a suggestion and see if, what board members think about that, because I think a majority plus one should be sufficient. It is true that it is our governing document, but ultimately our governing document, of course, is state statute. And what the bylaws serve to do is to dilute the onerous nature of the state statutes down to something that's more understandable and digestible for us. But, you know, in terms of how it affects the group, in terms of moving it forward or preventing it from moving forward, I don't know that it's such a big deal that it requires more than a simple majority vote.
I would like to leave it at 2/3. I think it's it just ranks it as an important document, and it's not something that we're going to be playing with all the time. So I think if people want amendments, when we have a bar of 2/3, people are going to think very carefully about amendments and how to word them. With a simple majority, I think could open us up to too easily trying to change things that may not be necessary.
Any other discussion?
Yes, it's Mary Silverberg.
Hi, Mary.
I completely agree with that. There's much more of a visible commitment at 2/3 over instead of a majority.
Yeah, this is Randa. I would agree as well.
Anyone in favor of a simple majority? I'm not asking for a vote. I'm just asking if anybody wants to speak in favor of. Okay, hearing none, do we have any other general discussion with regard to the bylaws? Hearing none, it sounds as if we're prepared to go to a vote. All those in favor of adopting the bylaws as presented by the work group, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let me amend that. I think what I'd like to do is, since we regard this as an important document, how about if we have a roll call? Zach, if I could call on you to call the roll once again, and when Zach calls your name, please state yes or no.
Just one moment, I apologize, I wasn't prepared, I had X'd out of that. Give me one moment.
Of course.
All right. Chairman, do I include you in the vote?
If there is a tie, yeah, you can include the chairman, but I'm not sure about whether I should vote on this. So let's go ahead, exclusive of the chairman, and then if it's necessary, you can call on me to cast a vote.
Oh, I apologize. My computer's having a problem.
Okay, no worries.
I have the roll in front of me. If you want, I can jump in. I don't mean to.
Oh, could you please do that, Andrew? For some reason, okay. My computer doesn't want to do it.
Eileen Akers, yes or
yes.
No?
Yes.
Steve Famagletti, yes or no? Andrea Giudice, yes or no?
Absent.
Catherine Guzman, yes or no?
Yes.
Samuel Pride, yes or no?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Do you mind me calling your name out? Because you need eight
no.
votes.
Yeah. Al Sylvester, yes.
Stephen Thal, yes or no?
Yes.
Randa Utter, yes or no?
Yes.
Beth Rigel, yes or no?
Yes.
Mary Silverberg, yes or no?
Yes.
So, Zach, I would ask you to note in the minutes that eight members, three quarters, voted yes. If you could put that into the minutes so that no one needs to wonder, like go back and start counting weird names, that should be declared in the minutes.
Absolutely, that is noted.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much, Zach. And thank you, Andrew, for stepping in and calling the roll. We have an amended set of bylaws. The motion has passed. Let me switch over. Okay. Here we are. Yes, do I hear? Yep. Do I have a question?
Everybody on the committee for their great job in making this work, so thank you all.
And thank you for chairing the committee.
Yes, thank you for leading the way. Yes.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Excellent. All right, very good. Now, excuse me. We're moving on to Bureau updates. We will start with adult services, then we will move to children's services. And there is an amendment to the agenda that I would like to propose, and that is adding the state plan to the Bureau update. We did have an agenda that had that on it, but it was not sent out in the name of avoiding confusion. So the agenda you have before you does not include the state plan. So I would like to ask the members of the board if they would accept this amendment to the agenda for state plans. I have to call for a vote for that. And again, for this, I apologize, but I am going to ask for a roll call. So the roll call vote is to add the state plan to the Bureau update portion of the agenda. Okay, Anna, since you have the roll in front of you, would you mind calling the roll and getting a vote on whether we can add the state plan to the agenda?
I have it now. I can do that.
I just ran out of the room to get a glass of water. I thought it was a good time.
No, that's okay. I can do it for you.
Zach has it. It sounds like Zach has it.
My computer stopped being frozen. All right, so I'm going to go to Eileen Akers.
Yeah.
Andrea is absent. Catherine Guzman?
Yes.
Samuel Pride?
Yes.
Elizabeth Rival?
Yes.
Mary Silverberg?
Yes.
Stephen Thal? Randa Utter.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Zach, and thank you, board members. We now have added the state plan to the Bureau update. So I will now give the floor to Chris Lassen to deliver his adult services report.
Thanks very much, Al. The adult services program continues to provide blindness rehabilitation services, independent living needs of clients throughout Connecticut. At present, there are 5 social workers providing case management for clients. 2 of them, Jaime Ortega and Margie Santos, will complete their 2-year stints in trainee status on March 28th. And 1, Marianne Kanicki, is scheduled to retire on March 31st. And a request has been drafted to allow Ms. Kanicki to work as a retiree while her permanent replacement is sought. Adult Services is fortunate that Mr. Ortega is able to share the responsibility for assisting our clients who speak only Spanish, along with longtime incumbent Johnny Vega, which allows us now to more speedily serve that client group. Ms. Santos, meanwhile, is conversant in American Sign Language, and her caseload includes all clients recognized as falling along the spectrum of deafblindness. In addition to these specialized assignments, Mr. Vega covers the Southeast, Lindy Gatling the Southwest, Margie Santos the Northwest, Marianne Kinnicky the Northeast, and Jaime Ortega the central portion of the state. In late 2021, the Adult Services Program staff completed the annual report to our federal funders on the 620 older adults, that is age 55 and over, who were served during the federal fiscal year ending September 30th of 2021. The social workers were assisted in serving these clients by our three orientation and mobility instructors, Matt Cornelius, David Furland, and newcomer Glenn Jablon, who was brought aboard at the end of July of 2021, as well as by incumbent rehabilitation teachers Jonathan Gansfried, Mark Rafferty, and Pat Tavares. Contributing to services provided that fiscal year was Rick Anders, who retired in June 30th, 2021, and the program is awaiting the posting of that vacancy along with the expected recruitment for the first ever rehabilitation technologist in adult services. Adult services staff members have been working on a number of bureau initiatives, including supervising a mobility intern from UMass Boston, expanding the list of low vision providers, streamlining the low vision referral forms and procedures, and collaborating with an education consultant from Children's Services on converting the BESBY I report to a computer fillable form. Incumbent program supervisor Chris Lassen continues to code I reports while planning for the staffing of BESBY office functions is underway. Office assistant Stephanie Monk, who completed many tasks to support the entire bureau, including entering I reports into the database, creating certificates of legal blindness, and generating the quarterly report of newly added clients of driving age to the Department of Motor Vehicles, while also processing referrals and authorizations for adult services, took a job with another state agency last month, and the three remaining BESBY clerical support staff persons have stepped up in a big way to allow adult services at the Bureau as a whole to continue to complete basic BESBY responsibilities. And I'll now turn the floor over to Lori St. Amand to give her part of the adult services update, and then if there are any questions, we'll entertain those.
Okay, good morning, everyone. The volunteer program continues our efforts to recruit and train new volunteers to assist our consumers. The activities that they would assist with are shopping, driving, reading, sorting mail, and friendly visiting. And so far since January, 35 of those services have been matched to new or existing volunteers and consumers. 8 new volunteers have joined the program since January, which is heartening. And then of those 8, 5 of them are working with consumers directly, and then 3 of them are supporting the Braille program by typing our Nutmeg Literary Award books. And there have been 20 new book assignments since January, so it's definitely getting busier. And I guess that's it for me, if anyone has questions.
I have a question for Chris. Okay, so Chris, I'm just curious, when will the posting be done for the rehabilitation technologist, do you know?
So we're not really sure. The department was not able to post that position despite our request to do that before it expired in January, and we're now awaiting the reauthorization of that. Rather disappointing, but I will be able to provide an update in the near future, I hope, very, very anxious. I know that there are a number of candidates who have have heard that Adult Services might be getting ready to post that, who have contacted various members of the staff about pursuing that. We're very, very anxious to have that happen, but alas, I can't exactly say right now.
Okay, so if any of us wanted to encourage someone at the department to get moving on that, who should we contact?
So that's difficult to say. I think we need to, I had spoken to the commissioner about it because we were extremely anxious, and she was instrumental in helping us bring it back to prominence, and we are right now, alas, awaiting action by the Department of Administrative Services. So I'm not sure that there's anyone within the agency. But I will say that Commissioner Porter was extremely supportive when we brought this to her attention, just before the expiration of the position. So what I would say is I'm happy to provide an update to members of the board if that's requested. I will do that give me 2 weeks and I will let you know.
Okay. That would be great. I mean, it's just, I think most people would agree that BSBE needs and has needed for a long time more technology teachers or, so anyway.
Sam Silverberg, I'd like to add something to what Randa just said. As board members, not just as board members and consumers of service, people who really do need the service, I understand bureaucratic process and all that. However, it just seems that we need, somewhere there needs to be a little push in this system. I don't know why it's taking this long. Neither does anybody else, either in BSBE or out or anywhere in the department. And there's something wrong with that. The need is huge. They have to know that we feel it is extremely important and we're not happy at the moment about it. Can you convey that for us along with anyone else's written letters, emails to Amy and support and anyone else who we need to write to?
Sure. I would say that the commissioner was extraordinarily supportive when we reached out to inquire about where this position stood in the posting period. And I think it may have gotten caught in the transition to a more centralized role in the personnel process. Department of Administrative Services took over some of the functions that had been assigned to the individual agencies. There is no question the commissioner is absolutely aware, as am I, and everyone else in Adult Services, of the really strong feeling in support of adding this capability to Adult Services. I will say that I fielded a number of direct inquiries about, on behalf of certain clients in the Adult Services program, and why we're not able to provide at present more technology assistance. And some of those go through the commissioner's office, so I'm asked to weigh in on those. So I think that we'll have something really positive to report in a fairly short period of time.
Chris, one more.
Randa, with regard
how can we support her in doing this, just to get it moving?
With regard to moving the bureaucracy, I'm sorry, Chris, not to interrupt, but Mary, with regard to moving the bureaucracy beyond the commissioner, what I would suggest is that if you want to get things moving, get in touch with your legislator. Call them and write them. Because what we want to do is convey the urgency of this situation. And the way to do that is to get in touch with your legislator and let them know that you're dissatisfied with the slow pace at which the Department of Administrative Services is moving on getting this position approved, and the importance of having a technology person available to adults who are legally blind is critical to our community.
Well,
when they get enough phone calls or enough emails, they'll call somebody at DAS and say, hey, what's going on?
But you know what bothers me more than that? I understand and I agree with that. You're absolutely right. But why would it even be necessary to notify our legislators and help them? DAS should already realize that, and the fact that they don't disturbs me even more.
Well, I mean, there are many reasons for that. Principal among them being that the state is a bureaucracy. A bureaucracy is a rule-bound organization, and there are a lot of people in the bureaucracy. That means lots of moving parts, lots of things cross people's desks, and after a while, everything has the same level of importance. If you want something to be important to somebody, you have to call them up. You have to get their attention. It's just the way things are in a large organization. It's nobody's fault. It's the nature of the beast. And if you want things to move, this is the process available to us.
It is the nature, but this was already in the budget. It's already in place. It should have been acted upon. I'm not going to belabor the point, but go ahead, Beth.
So, what each person on the board needs to do is to write or email or call your representative. And if you don't know who that is, I will offer up our secretary, who will look up who your representative is, and you can write them like I did, so that they'll see that this is a point of interest. You can call Lucia at 860-289-1971, and she'll tell you who your representative in your town is, and also your senator. So call them, write the letters. Simple.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Sure, I don't know if there's any other questions about any other aspects of the adult services report, either for me or for Lori.
Yeah, I have two questions, Mr. Chairman.
Steve, go ahead. Yep.
One thing you forgot to mention in your report, Chris, is a low vision calendar.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Steve.
How many, Zach? Chris is asking how many.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many? So we printed 1,100 and over 800 were sent out. We have, you know, a sufficient supply to distribute additional calendars to newly added clients throughout this current calendar year. You know, we're very, very much looking forward to continuing that practice.
Okay, my second question to you is, where does All Vision Services stand in terms of delivery? Is it going to be eliminated, or are we trying to get some creative ideas on where to go from here, because this service serves all three departments?
Right.
And
so,
I'm curious as to what's happening, because many low vision specialists have retired.
So sure, Steve. Thanks for mentioning that. I think all of the supervisors, I'm not certain about Tyrell, but I know that Mary and Catherine and I serve on the low vision committee, along with Al, and we've had some really instrumental contributions from some of the staff members in adult services and elsewhere. I think I mentioned that one of the things that is underway is a streamlining of the low vision evaluation referral procedures. The forms have been revised. I want to thank Zach for his assistance in achieving that. And the committee has started to undertake, some consideration of how to more aggressively low vision doctors. A number have been